Hey, On the Line Breakers, this is Trip Upton, co-host of On the Line, with a quick message. This is the second hour of our June 26, 2026 edition of On the Line. And hour number one, which is listed right below this on the podcast center on ESPNAU.com, we talked with Auburn Undercover's Christian Clemente about Auburn recruiting and how Alex Golish is doing on the trail. Make sure you tune into that one. It'll be listed again right below this on ESPNAU.com or wherever you get your audio podcasts. And hour number two, the one you are listening to currently, myself and Jack Hudden play Christian's new game, The Blueprint, and you won't want to miss it. Stay tuned, and thank you for listening.
The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1067. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
You have 3 years to build a national championship type of team. How do you do it? We'll talk about it.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. I'm Christian Griffin. He is Trip Upton inside the studio. A really, really fun conversation had in hour number one. Appreciate our good buddy, Christian Clemente, again, the Auburn recruiting expert for Auburn 24/7, Auburn Undercover. Go anywhere to find out any of his information. If you type in Auburn recruiting, you're going to see his name and his platform. Does an incredible job covering all things Auburn. Again, talking about the knowledge that he had all in hour number one. He did not bring a computer. He did not look at it once and was able to name not only the positions, not only the players, but yeah, I think this guy, if I remember correctly, is the 158th player in the class, and it was to the T, right on the nose. And so, very, very impressive, and again, a very, very good buddy of ours. We need to find a date to all go out on the golf course together and have a good time, because that's what needs to happen, especially during his down period before everything really kicks up on our end of things. We talked to him about what makes this year's staff different than in years past when he's been able to cover it. We dove into a little bit of just the questions in terms of what recruiting looks like, the numbers that Auburn decided to go with, the players that Auburn decided to go with, what this season could look like, and then also some names to look out for the future, as again, there's not too much wiggle room left for the Auburn Tigers, but some names that are on the horizon that Auburn feels very confident about, and Auburn fans should be very, very excited about. All of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center, and would highly recommend you do so over at AU or ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, it is going to be something of a brainchild of Christian and President Eric of the text box. We're going to be looking at, if you had 3 years to build a program, how would you do it? And Christian has put a fun spin on this to basically make it kind of like a game show of sorts, kind of, and he'll get more into what that looks like after that. But if you want to be a little bit a part of it, no phone line today so we can focus on this. But the text box is always open. Give your opinion. Give your thoughts. What would you do in these scenarios? 334-784-1685. 334-784-1OTL. And I think I need to bring in our guest here that's sitting to my left, Christian's right, Mr. Jack Hudden, who does some stuff with Auburn Baseball, the Auburn High Sports Network, and just a good friend of ours and a good golfer, from what I hear.
Boy, I am excited to welcome him in, man. That sounds like an awesome
sounds like
guest.
A good dude.
Yeah,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, who? Yeah, good to be in, guys. Glad we're doing this. We got a few fun things that we're going to be doing here soon, but this is one of them. This was a conversation that we were having the other day. And, yeah, 3 years, respectable NIL budget. You got a goal. You got to win a national championship. What do you do? I think it's fun. I think a lot of, college programs right now are in the midst of this.
Very much
so.
You
look around the country at, and you're trying to figure out, okay, you've been there before. You got 3 years. Turn it around. If there's no progress, then get out is basically the message to most coaches coming in. And so I think it's a fun exercise.
Yeah, very much so. And the true definition of summer sports talk, of talking season. But again, you mentioned it. It has a whole lot of relevancy. And again, this is a question that came from the text box. And so we always highly advise any big-time questions that you have for us, send them our way. This can be just any questions that we can answer during a segment, or if we see that we have enough fun with it, we can make it an entire 30 minutes, or like what we're going to do here this afternoon, we're going to make this all of hour number two. And so we definitely advise you and encourage you to be a part of the show any way that you can. But today on the text box, 334-784-1685. Again, 334-784-1OTL. And without further ado, let's get the afternoon started. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of On the Line. Welcome to The Blueprint, the only game show in America where three people with absolutely zero experience running a college football program are about to tell you the way that you need to coach a college football program. I'm your host, Christian Griffin, and joining me today are my wonderful contestants, a man who would spend 90% of his NIL budget on a quarterback and then act surprised when the offensive line can't block a folding chair, Mr. Jack Hutton, off to my right. Welcome in, sir. Hopefully all is doing well in your world. You're the next participant here on The Blueprint.
Yeah, man, I'm from Auburn, Alabama. I have a job. I don't have any kids, but I'm so excited to be here, Christian.
Very, very excited to have you here as well.
Very, very excited.
Very nice. And a man who believes that every problem in college football can be solved by signing yet another offensive lineman and just being tougher, having enough grit, in this corner, standing at 6'4", minus a lot of those inches. The man that you know running the board, the rookie, Mr. Trip Upton. Trip, a pleasure having you here on the show. Congratulations.
Yeah.
And we're looking forward to having you here this afternoon.
Hi, I'm Trip Upton from Cartersville, Georgia. Honored to be on the show. Spraying new to your pets.
Well,
pull
gentlemen,
that one out of somewhere.
Gentlemen,
y'all never seen The Price is Right?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
We don't name other shows here on our game show.
My mistake.
So, strike one. But gentlemen, welcome in to The Blueprints. Now, here is how the show will work. You, Jack and Tripp, have just been named the head coach of a Power 4 college football program. Your boosters are very, very excited. Your fan base is delusional to think that you can go win yourself a college football playoff national championship. Your athletic director expects immediate results, and your message board has already fired you twice, in case you did not know. But you don't look at anything like that. And so, you have 3 years. You have a respectable NIL budget, and the goal is simple. Win yourself a national championship. Sounds pretty simple, right? And here's where the twist comes in. Standing before you, and this is something that we will discuss on the radio side of things, since it has no benefit for you as if you're not holding this piece of paper, but we have a piece of paper in our hands, and again, standing before you are eight different philosophies. Some have produced champions, some have produced absolute disasters. And for the Auburn fan base, many of these philosophies you have seen over the last handful of years, for better or for worse, more so for the worse, but there are multiple different ways that you can go about them. All of them have flaws, and so by no means is this a win-win situation, regardless of the one that you choose, but each round, one philosophy will be voted off, until only one remains. Now, let's dive into what those philosophies look like. Will it be the five-star quarterback model? Will it be the trenches model? Will it be the portal mercenary? Will it be the developmental side of things? The offensive arms race, the defensive monster, the wide receiver factory, or the retention model? And by the end of today's show, the three gentlemen who have not coached a college football program will tell you the right way to win a national championship in college football. And only one blueprint will be crowned a champion. The rest will be left for the transfer portal. Gentlemen, the game begins now. Mr. Jack Hudden, we will start with you here this afternoon. Again, a pleasure to have you here on the show this afternoon from right here in Auburn, Alabama. And so not too far of a drive. We're really excited to have you on the show. Would like for you to just simply talk to us about what catches your eye. Again, not making any picks right now, but what catches your eye when you look at this paper and the philosophies of which stand out to you?
Yeah, so I think when I came into this, because we would talked about this a little bit for a couple of days now, and I think
don't give the game show knowledge away.
There are a few things that jump out to me. So the question that we're addressing is 3 years. What's the blueprint? Win a national title, 3 years. I will say I do think that's a little different than build a sustainable contender.
Sure.
And so I'm going to kind of tailor my answers to what we're playing here.
Sure.
Win a national title in 3 years.
Okay.
Okay. I think if I were doing like sustained development for long term, we've talked about this, but the trenches model jumps out to me because I think that that's where you get a lot of people that just kind of look over that. You get offensive line and defensive line coaches that come in. Auburn has had a couple of young guys come in to try and coach their OLs the past few years. You've had some proven guys that come in, but you would say maybe a little long in the tooth, maybe overstayed their welcome in Power 4 football for a while. I think if I was a coach coming in, that would probably be the place that I would go out and say, I'm going to find the best offensive line and defensive line coach in the country and overpay them to come here.
Sure.
I think that is where you need to put a lot of focus. I think that's what I'd do if I was going for long-term contender. For the question of how do we get to a national championship in 3 years, I think there's some fun ones on here. I think the five-star QB model obviously juts out at you because that is your most important position. I think portal mercenary, you look at what Lane Kiffin does in the portal every year. Ole Miss was up there. LSU probably going to be up there again. I think probably offensive arms race. There are teams that do not play defense that win national championships. So there's a lot of different ones on here, but I am drawn to that trenches model and probably I'd probably say that five-star QB model out of the gate.
Awesome. Well, Jack, we appreciate you for being here. Mr. Trip Upton, I now go to you. Is there any way of building this philosophy that stands out to you before we really dive in?
Yeah, I mean, looking at what the possibilities are, I mean, again, I think the trenches model is one that if you're looking at winning in 3 years versus long-term success is pretty interesting. Looking at, like, the modern age of college football where, yeah, you might be able to bring in a five-star quarterback, or yeah, you might be able to bring in developmental three stars, but what happens when they transfer out to other programs? That's something you've got to pay attention to now, and kind of it's an extra step of monitoring you have to do in college football. And again, the 3 years, because I think if you're building long term, you're really thinking of what's my floor? How can I make my floor the highest it could be? While yes, that expands your ceiling. If your floor is 8-4, your ceiling is 10-2, that's a program you're not going to have any job insecurity, depending on where you are, obviously. If you're in Tuscaloosa, that's not going to happen. But if you're trying to win now, you don't focus on your floor. You're trying to focus on your ceiling of, yeah, I can get to it a 16-0, 20-0 national championship, but
20-0 is impressive.
20-0, yeah, because you play four extra games, yeah. If you were able to get to a position where it's like that, but my floor is, you know, 7-5. I think we saw that with Auburn last year. They had a high ceiling. People thought maybe this could be an outside dark horse playoff contender with the amount of talent on the roster, but then their floor was 5-7, and we saw that in action.
I think it's interesting. I'm just looking through some of these models here, and even a 2 or 3 year program, you look at what Indiana just got done doing. The model I think that they really delved into was this developmental model, where Kurt Cignetti and that coaching staff came in. They really did. I mean, they brought some JMU guys with them, but they just took who was there, retained them, which is kind of that retention model at the end. It's kind of a development and retention model in one that they did. And it only took them 2 years. So that's something that you at least have to say, okay, there's some merit there. I think it's going to be fun here. How do we want to do this? Is it, are we eliminating one right now?
Yes.
Per round?
Okay, we are.
So maybe we need to talk about the ones that we don't think will
right.
work.
So that was the that is now the next question.
You're the game show host. Sorry. Yes.
So now we talked about the ones that stand out in the positive way. Are there any rather quickly that stand up that you can immediately look at right now and say, this is the option that I would not take regardless of the options?
I mean, looking at the number five and number six, at least on our sheet, but those are the offensive arms race and the defensive monster. Yes, we've seen improvement. Like, I think of the defensive monster, I think of Iowa as a great example of a team that they are going to only allow 10 points a game, and they're going to be ranked in the top 10 nationally defensively, points per game, yards per game, whatever. But their offense really limits their ceiling, and you look at, you're not going to win with Cade McNamara as your quarterback there. So that's kind of a model where it's one extreme instead of both. Meanwhile, in the offensive arms race, I kind of think of like the Cliff Kingsbury Texas Tech, or the, I wouldn't say Oregon for this one because Oregon does have a good defense, but I think the Oregon of old, where they just go basically every Saturday night after midnight for the Pac-12 after dark, was Oregon and pick your Pac-12 team of the week. They're going to try and score 80, and
it's
whoever
a Mike
gets their
Leach
first,
offense,
literally, yes, like whoever gets their first wins. But then they're not going to play defense when they play a contender that is average in both. They're going to fall to the surface, and that's why you saw so many upsets and the cannibalization of the Pac-12 was because of that. So I think those are two that I'm looking at right now as maybe too hot, too cold. We're trying to be just right to win a national championship.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. You know, you're not putting all your eggs in one basket is essentially what you're saying there. The one that I have an issue with, and I might go with this, but I think we just saw what happens when you go with the wide receiver factory model. That's what's number seven here. Auburn brought in the freeze five, or the freeze four, if you will,
right,
and continually got some guys in the portal that came in here. Well, you saw that didn't go super well because there were other things that Auburn was lacking. You know, you need a good quarterback that can get there. You need an offensive set that's going to get them open. And so I don't think that just bringing in elite wide receivers is enough to carry you over the finish line there. So I'm looking at that one. I think the defensive monster is probably one that I don't think you can go all the way with, just because I do think you need a very competent offense. I think there are teams, if you look in the past, that have outscored their way to a championship. For me, it's number seven and number six down there that I'm eyeing on the chopping block currently.
So the defensive monster and the wide receiver factory. All right. I believe the conversation is in. Is it the offensive arms race? Is it the defensive monster? Is it the wide receiver factory eliminated in the round one? We'll find out when we come back here on The Blueprint on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. In 1803, President Thomas Jefferson faced an opportunity. France controlled a massive stretch of land west of the Mississippi River, called Louisiana. Jefferson wanted the port of New Orleans, but Napoleon had other plans. France needed money, so instead of just selling New Orleans, Napoleon offered the entire territory for $15 million. With one deal, the United States doubled in size, opening the door for expansion, settlement, and a nation stretching coast to coast. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island, family-owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You're on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton. If you want to be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1067.
Welcome back to the Blueprint here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. For those that have just now tuned in, we have 3 years to build a national championship level team, and there are 8 different philosophies of going about it. You have the 5-star quarterback model, you have the trenches, you have the portal mercenary, you have the developmental, you have the offensive arms race, the defensive monster, the wide receiver factory, and the retention side of things. And gentlemen, the time has now come. Your final pitch, very quickly, if you had 15 to 30 seconds to pitch your reasons to eliminate the very first philosophy.
I think I'm going to eliminate number 6, defensive monster. I think that we have seen this at Auburn. Not only that, but we've seen it at a place like Iowa. We have seen the defense be almost unstoppable, one of the best in the country. But then if you're not giving any resources to the offense, we have seen that it is so hard to win like that. At least if you have an offensive model, you can go for outscoring your opponent. So I think I'm taking off defensive monster as only being good on one side of the ball.
Yeah, I'll agree with you there.
Oh, an agreement on option one.
Yes,
okay.
And I think just looking at it, like, yes, you have an equal chance to be Iowa and Auburn as you have to be like the early 2000s or the late 2000s, early 2010s, Alabama, where you had a top offense that was pretty good. You had talent, but the defense is where those teams made their name and made their money. Or like a Michigan, where they are just a physical team that had a just good enough offense to get there. I think you got to score points to win games. Whatever team has the most points wins the game in college football, breaking news. But I think I'm going to agree with you there and go defensive monster for this first one.
So the defensive monster has been eliminated by Jack Hutton and Trip Upton, our guests here this afternoon on the Blueprint. And so congratulations. Your elite defenders are still very interested in coming to your program. You have better playoff football. You can survive bad offensive days if you were to keep this. But you have your offense, you have your defensive identity. However, those were not what you chose to have. Your defensive depth declines. You now have less infrastructure into the defensive side of the football. More shootouts are going to be required. It is now much harder for you to land elite defenders. And your defense now is gone, so I hope that your offense scores 45 a game, because you will be giving up 42 a game. So, option number one, the defensive monster. Kind of the way that college football has worked its way throughout as of late. The first one eliminated for the philosophy. Is there a second one that stands out as we're not quite up against the music bed yet, but working our way, a second option that you would be willing to eliminate?
Yeah, I'm eliminating wide receiver factory model. This is another one that we've seen. When you have a wide receiver factory, you also have to have other playmakers around you. In an offensive arms race, you're going to load up on wide receivers anyways. Same thing with portal mercenary. You can go out and get them. I think there's still other wide receiver avenues on the board, so I'm taking out wide receiver factory.
I mean, we do have to be mindful of the fact that we are getting rid of...
You're talking about we.
We, sorry.
Me versus you.
Me versus you, got you. So, yeah, I'm looking at it with the idea of, yeah, if we're going to be giving up a lot of points, we do have to score a lot of points. So those offensive arms race and wide receiver factory models survive a little longer. However, I'm going to go with the wide receiver model, because I think that you can still get those guys in the portal, in the arms race, if you have a good coordinator or if you're planning on calling the plays yourself as the head coach. At the end of the day, I think there is you can make talent, especially with some of these other options, instead of relying on highly rated guys out of high school. I mean, you saw that with Auburn last year, where Cam Coleman was undoubtedly talent-wise a top 5 wide receiver in the country, was not even the leading receiver on his own team. I think that shows a lot and why that model probably wouldn't work instead of a guy like Brandon KLS.
So the defensive monster and the wide receiver factory model both have now been eliminated by both contestants, correct?
Yes, I believe
so
that's correct.
So we talked about your offense needing to score. but it may not come as much with the wide receiver option. So your elite wide receivers choose other schools. That means you have fewer explosive plays. That means the quarterbacks lose a little bit of the recruiting draw because the wide receivers follow the quarterbacks and vice versa. And the skill talent perception drops in terms of what happens out wide. And so apologies, but the five-star has marked you off of their top 10 list. And so we are two philosophies down here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line. So what is left? We have the five-star quarterback model. We have the trenches model, the portal mercenary, the developmental model, the offensive arms race, and the retention model. Real quickly, before we head to our bottom of the hour break, one stands out to you in a more negative right that you would be willing to eliminate in round three.
Well, I think there's some on here that are primarily focused on one position, and that was the wide receiver race that we just X'd out. The five-star QB model, I think, is different because it is such an important position on here, but you do have to have guys around him for that. I think that one of the items that does that and still gets guys in with quarterbacks that are still good is that offensive arms race down there. It says load up on QBs. And so that's one of those ways where you could work around that five-star quarterback model. So I do think that the five-star quarterback model is losing some shine for me. I would also say, again, if I've got 3 years to do this, I would probably say that the developmental model is not going to be the quickest way there. I think you have to combine all these, but I don't know if that's the quickest way there. If it's building a program, that's probably high on the list. If it's 3 years, I don't know.
Same thing. I'm looking at the developmental model. I don't know if I'm confident enough to vote it off yet, but again, with the portal era, you can't just say, okay, you'll play in 3 years, you'll play in 2 years. You need guys that can play now because that brings in other recruits, and I think that is something you've got to watch out for, and you can't sit around and wait. You got to win a national championship in 3 years. It's not 10.
Just got a text in the On the Line text box, which is partially the reason that we're doing this based off of this text. Says, I can't believe that we ever fell for the wide receiver your university model, because when you say it out loud, it sounds absurd. If you haven't noticed, there are multiple different ways of recruiting and ways of philosophy that Auburn has seen through their various head coaches. Two have been eliminated. We will quickly eliminate a third and continue diving into what you need to do, the philosophy you need to have to win a national championship in 3 years. We're halfway through hour number two here on the Blueprint and On the Line.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Minutes into the free-for-all, or I guess 30 more minutes here on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line. But more importantly, we welcome you back to the Blueprint. For those that have just now joined us, Tripp and Jack are competing, or so we thought, which we will get to here in just a moment, on you have 3 years. These two gentlemen have just been listed as P4 head coaches that have reasonable, competitive NIL, what they need to do to build a championship in 3 years. And appreciate all the love again on the text box. It's going crazy here this afternoon. Just got one that says the next show needs to be how quickly can you destroy a college football program.
Yes.
And maybe that is the ways that we have already eliminated. Again, we started with eight. We have eliminated two. We have eliminated the wide receiver factory, and we have eliminated the defensive monster. And that was both with Tripp and Jack competing. But during the break, I believe I saw a handshake.
Well, yes. So Hutton University and Upton University have come together. We believe we're going to join forces now. We believe we'll be becoming
huddle up,
going up for exactly. Yeah, we'll be moving up from the Sun Belt into the ACC.
Okay.
So we'll be becoming a P4 conference. So welcome, Coach Upton. Yeah.
Yeah. Very nice.
I'm excited. I'm excited. We're going to be. It's kind of, if you need to think about it to hurt your brain or break your brain, kind of what the Malvos are doing with softball.
Yeah.
That, but at college football, like it's going to work.
That's proven it works.
Exactly. Three guys that have never coached a college football program telling you how you need to coach a college football program.
Yes.
If only we could get College Football 27 a sponsor in here.
As I say, isn't the early
early access?
Isn't that today? Because does it come out?
I did see some of that. Yeah, I actually did see some of that.
I think it's today
Twitter.
If so,
I'm calling out of work. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're here.
Yeah. Trip, it's all you on Monday and Tuesday, brother. Hey. Sorry, I got to catch up on sleep over the weekend.
Well, we don't have. I guess you don't have work on Friday.
All right.
Week.
Huddle up, University, yep. with Jack Hutton and Trip Upton.
Yes.
You've eliminated the defensive monster and the wide receiver factory from your contentions. And again, with that, it means that your offense is going to have to keep up with the points because your defense is going to give up a lot of points. But that being said, you have taken away the wide receiver factory, which means that four stars are now the only ones interested. You have eliminated the opportunity of gaining the five stars and makes it to where the four stars are much harder to receive. I believe during the break we may have had a little communication on the third option to eliminate. Is that correct?
We have. We've done some deliberation. We're going to eliminate, I think, the...
Say it.
The five-star quarterback model?
Yeah. Yes. I think that's the right decision because you look at programs like... I'm going to say Andrew Luck at Stanford. Obviously, they were pretty good under him and David Shaw at the head coach there. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you have a first-round or a number one overall pick. They're not going to be good. Look at what Cal did. I know that Mendoza was a developmental guy, but they were okay with him at the helm in Berkeley. And then he goes to a real program in Indiana and plays well. I mean, yeah, he did cook Auburn when he was at Cal. Point blank, we know that. But to win a national championship, he had to change scenery. And what Justin Wilcox is trying to do with that five-star QB model and have someone good like that, it's not going to work if he can't throw the ball to somebody, if he can't run the ball. And I believe in our quarterbacks and our system that me and coach over here can make it work
and play in the game. And just if you're going by, you know, what's left on the board, to me, I think it still leaves us open if we want to go back and reconsider, oh, we really need to put some resources into quarterback because we've got offensive arms race on here. We got portal mercenary on here, developmental model. So I think that there's still avenues to get a really elite quarterback here.
So five-star quarterback model has been eliminated. And so quickly taking a few hits to the offense, though, because five-star quarterbacks will no longer consider you. Portal quarterbacks will also begin to look elsewhere, making it harder for you to receive them in the transfer portal. Elite wide receivers become much harder to attract. That being said, you have eliminated the five-star wide receiver route, so I don't think that that is the worst way of going about it. And you will never receive a Heisman candidate at the quarterback position.
It's okay.
That's fine.
I believe those options are fine. Did also get a text on the line text box saying that Auburn's quarterback this past year was a five-star. And so there's a little bit of that lack of maybe the development, maybe following pursuits in some of these other categories, which we will hit now. We have eliminated the five-star quarterback model, the defensive monster, and the wide receiver model. And so just looking at what those three are, your defense is no longer what you basically identify yourself as, and so you need a lot of points, but it's not going to come with five-star talent at the quarterback or the wide receiver position. But those three have been eliminated. It leaves us with the trenches model, where you stack up on the line of scrimmage and you try and dominate the line of scrimmage. You have the portal mercenary, where you live in the transfer portal every single year. You bring in the proven players, but you have to run the risk of LSU baseball this year of it just not working whatsoever. You have the developmental model, you have the offensive arms race, and you have the retention model. Gentlemen, I need a number four. Philosophy eliminated.
Well, let's talk about this one right here, because what you indicated to me while Christian was setting this up was the retention model. And I think that when you look at kind of how I've looked at this, is what program does this talk about?
Yeah.
The retention model sounds to me a lot like a Clemson, where you're going to go in the portal maybe a little bit now, or like be a program where we're going to pay our own guys. We're going to just we'll do high school. We'll grow them up and we'll win. And while I think that there's a very big possibility of the, well, you can't win in 3 years if you're just focusing on now instead of you're hoping that your guys are going to improve. It's kind of like the developmental model. However, that also could be like a Georgia, where Georgia rarely recruits heavy in the portal. When they do, they're able to swing and get big guys to fill the holes they have. I don't know if I'm not opposed to getting the retention model out. I think we definitely need to, if we're going to look, let's look at some other stuff as well.
Yeah, the other one that I looked at was the developmental model right above it. And because what I'm looking at between, like, what do I eliminate next is I think taking out the retention model it still lets us consider recruiting high school talent and developing them. Now, there may be some form of like, okay, well, we're going to get guys that portal out now. But I think that if we're developing them and building a culture like that, we're going to get the guys that we want in there. If that makes sense. I mean,
yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we keep one of the two for sure. And so if you'd rather us get rid of eight and then we develop, we're still keeping those guys instead of being, like it's your hometown guys. It's your kind of being still having that scouting advantage. Cause I think we have to consider if we get rid of developmental, I feel like we're getting rid of a lot of our scouting. So I think we do need to keep developmental. And I think retention might be the guy.
Good point. Another one that I just thought of that we may want to consider. We've already put out defensive monster. The other side of the ball, offensive arms race, we had a problem with defensive monster because we were too heavy on that side of the ball.
Right.
So if we take out offensive arms race, I feel like we're moving more towards a balanced team, if that makes sense.
Sure. I mean, kind of what like an Ohio State, where it was a balanced team of, yeah, the offense is going to be good and the defense is going to be good. They're not going to be elite. I mean, yeah, you'll have some elite talent here.
I will jump in as the game show host. If you eliminate the wide receiver factory, the defensive model, and the offensive arms race, you will not look like Ohio State.
Right.
Because
I'm saying,
that is...
But I mean, like, in terms of a, like, 50-50, Ohio State last 2 years ago...
I would
ago,
list both of those offensive and defensive units as elite.
Yeah, they are. But I'm saying in terms of, like, you don't have just one with, like, a Michigan where it was very clear the defense won them that national championship. Or 2019 LSU, where the offense very clearly won them that national championship. Yeah. Having a more balanced attack might be... kind of that's what Ohio State was. It was balanced. Granted, it's not going to reach that height depending on what we kind of keep and stay, but that's also another one we could get rid of.
See, I think it's like Indiana this past year. It wasn't like, oh, this run and gun action, we're going to score 60 a game or nothing.
Right.
I know they had a Heisman at quarterback, but I think that you can still get the balance there while also you're keeping in, developing your guys, keeping the good ones, having a good portal presence like that, and then obviously
the
being
trenches,
good in the trenches. That's it. Yeah,
because I think the trenches sets your floor very high. So
5 or 8, what do you think?
I'm going to go 5.
Let's go 5. Yep. We're going 5 out.
The offensive arms race. And rather quickly, I'll throw you right back onto it. Are we going right back? We need another one. Are we going the retention? Are we going 5 and 8 at the same time?
Yeah, I'd go 8 here.
Sure. Let's do it.
So, eliminating the offensive arms race as well as the retention model.
Yeah, I'm just saying numbers over here and people are like, oh yeah, 5 and 8. Yeah,
no,
I got it.
But so the offensive arms race, if you were to keep those, your elite skill players would still remain very, very interested. It would make the easier recruiting pitch just that much more beneficial. You'd have a little bit more, or very much more, of an explosive offense and more margin when trailing because there is no panic within the team. But since you have voted that off, there are fewer game breakers on the offensive line or on the offensive side of the ball. It's harder to attract the stars on offense. You have less explosive identity, which, again, if you don't want to live off of the explosive plays like the Indiana team that you're mentioning, then maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. And you probably will not be top 10 in the nation in scoring, which, again, I think based off of the conversations, is not necessarily the way you want to go about it. The retention model, since you voted it off, you will have increased portal departures, which makes it to where your NIL budget, you are going to demand more and more every single year. You will have constant roster turnover, which, depending on the model that you're looking at, may not be the worst way of going about it. It's much harder to build your team chemistry, and every offseason becomes free agency. And so, retention has been voted off. Congratulations. You're All-American. Just entered the transfer portal.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah.
What position is the All-American?
Correct.
Okay, good. All-American punter is gone. We need a new guy.
We know that it's not defense because you eliminated the defensive monster, and so that eliminates half of the football field of where that elite talent will come from. I also know that it will not be a receiver or a quarterback. And
darn.
So,
that All-American long snapper just hit the portal.
The three-star All-American from Long Snapper University. And so we are down to 3. We have the trenches model, we have the portal mercenary model, and we have the developmental model. 3 very different ways of going about it. 3 very unique ways of going about it. We'll have a winner when we return here at Huddle Up University with Jack Hutton and Trip Upton. We'll be back right after this here on the Blueprint of the Free-for-All Friday edition of On the Line.
are on the line with Kristen Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, we're back here wrapping up the Free-for-All Friday edition of On the Line. And if you can't tell, it's been exactly that here throughout the show. Again, Christian Clemente in hour number one talking all things Auburn football recruiting. And then here in hour number two, making a little game show of if you had 3 years to win a national championship, which philosophy would you take? And we are down to three gentlemen at Huddle Up University with Jack Hutton and Trip Upton. We have the trenches, we have the portal mercenary, and we have the development. And believe it or not, I would be willing to say that those are probably the three most popular and common ways of going about it, other than maybe the five-star quarterback. But in terms of modern-day college football, the three most popular ways of going about it. Option number two, the trenches. Jack, Trip, this is obviously your safest option. You're going to get the offensive lineman. You're going to get the defensive lineman. You are going to try and bring physicality to your games. You may not have the best quarterback. You may not have the best receivers, but every Saturday you are going to be the tougher team. Option number three, this is the win now model. This is the LSU. This is the Lane Kiffin side of things, where every offseason you're basically playing fantasy football. You need a quarterback? Go get one. You need a receiver? Go get one. That being said, neither of those are going to be five stars because of what you eliminated earlier. You need a quarterback? Go get one. It's the fastest way to win now, but it's also the most risk because you are most likely not going to have those players next year. And then finally, the development side of things, the old school style of football. You're going to recruit them. You're going to coach them. You are going to make them better. You're going to build the leadership. You're going to build the culture. You're going to build the locker room. This is the most sustainable. We are down to three, and I need one more eliminated. Pick one that is no longer going to be your way of going about winning a national championship.
Should we just pick one or pick the winner from these three, I guess? You want to pick one to eliminate?
I think we eliminate one more.
Yeah, I think we need to eliminate one.
All right.
Yeah.
So for me, I go back to
the game show host gets asked what. I don't know.
I don't know. What are we doing? I don't know. For me, if I'm looking at the remaining ones, what can I scratch off the board here and still be in a good situation? And I think for me, I think it's scratching off the portal mercenary. Because if I build up my trenches and then go develop my other players, I've got a path to success for every position on the field still. Now, I know that takes out portal, which is, you know, you can go and win year one. That's not the goal. The goal is win by year three, win a national championship by year three. So I'm going to build up the trenches and I'm going to keep the development just in case.
No, yeah, I think that Here's my thought process of, like, the portal mercenary. You can either be Indiana, you can either be Ole Miss, or you can be Florida State when they went 2-10 after being a playoff contender the year before because they leaned so far into the portal.
Yeah.
You are opening, you're increasing your ceiling, but also dramatically decreasing your floor. And you look at the developmental. Yeah, I think that that's a solid minimum of, or like a solid middle point where it's a. You could either be a Wisconsin where, yeah, we don't have a crazy geographical regional footprint to recruit in, but we're going to coach them up. We're going to invest in our culture, our coaches, and our young men and really build them rather than, okay, basically we're just going to outspend you, out recruit you in the portal and just bring in already brought in talent. I think that three and four are directly clashing. And so I think if we're going to eliminate one, I guess culture matters more than anything in winning a championship.
For 3 years.
For
1 year? Absolutely, yeah. We're portal mercenaries.
Oh, yeah.
But
we are.
For 3 years, we've got to have something else.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think that because I like the trenches model, I don't want to look at that one. I think we need to keep one of the two or get rid of one of the two. And I'm going to go portal mercenary. I'm going to trust Coach Hutton here. And I think we can. I mean, will it be a harder year one? Sure. Could that hurt us in recruiting? Potentially, sure. But we're already being able to develop. So it's not going to matter who walks in the door. If we believe in them, that's all that matters.
Yep.
Give me culture.
The trenches mattle. Model and matter.
They
do model.
They mattle.
They mattle a whole lot. They really, really do. So the portal mercenary model has been voted off the island. So because of that, That gets rid of your immediate roster fixes, gets rid of the proven college production, the veteran quarterback, and the ability to recover from recruiting misses that you couldn't get at the high school level. And so, Jack, your starting left tackle, unfortunately, tears his ACL in August, but you can't just go get another one real quickly, and so makes a little bit of a change.
Hey, good thing I can develop, and I have good offensive linemen.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So, there are two left. Very quickly, the trenches model, the developmental model, seems like one is very unit-focused, one is a little bit more of the team. Which way would you try to dominate and win a championship in 3 years?
To me, the most important position on the field outside of quarterback is your left tackle spot. And I think that you see the teams that consistently have success in the highest stages of championship football prioritize the trenches. We saw it with Michigan a few years ago where they just developed every single offensive lineman. Aiden Hutchinson anchored that defensive line. They were nasty up front. They manhandled every team they played. Ohio State did it the next season. Indiana put a lot of resource into that one. You see the biggest and best talent and the best developers on the offensive and defensive lines like that. I think if I were running a program, that'd be my first thing. Go out and get the best offensive and defensive line coaches, both recruiting and strategy-wise, that I could find. Go up to Ohio State and say, hey, we'll pay you double what you're making there. Overpay to get those guys and fill out the rest of your staff. Get the most important ones. Mine is the trenches model, Trip.
I like the trenches model. I think the developmental model can win you games, but I think at the end of the day, in college football, nothing's as sexy as running the football. You're going to need the trenches to do that, and I think that a D-line can buy you some, maybe not a lack of talent, but it can buy you time in the secondary if you can get after the quarterback and make them uncomfortable to develop the secondary. I'll go trenches model with you. I've stuck with you thus far, and I have no reason to not. I think the developmental model, if I could keep one, I'd talk about the developmental model especially, but I'm going to vote it off, and we're going to go trenches.
Building at the trenches.
Wow. The trenches model is the way that Huddle Up University decides to win a national championship in 3 years. And so because of that, what survived? You have elite offensive and defensive line recruiting. That's a priority. And you're constantly landing the 4- and 5-star offensive linemen. And because of that, it builds a little bit more trust in the quarterback room. And so it makes it to where, although the 5-stars are not there, the 4-stars are much more attracted. You have a physical identity. Everybody knows who you are. You're built for the playoff. Players improve every single year just because of what the trenches do. They get the communication, they have the consistency, and they have the culture. And as the music kicks us out of here, what is this? You now have a second option to pick that can build off of the trenches. If you could pick two, do you go back to the developmental model? Do you go and get the 5-star quarterback? As the music kicks us out of here, what is the other 7 options, or the one of the other 7 options that you would pick to compound?
I mean, yes, an offensive line is good, but they can't touch the ball. You're going to have to bring in skill position players and bring them in. I hate this. I know we voted against the wide receiver factory model, but that raises our ceiling so much.
Now that you got the trenches, bring them in. Maybe.
Yeah, we already have the trenches. If you could bring in wide receivers as well, you're going to be able to score. I think we bring back the wide receiver model.
The first one, or the second one that we kicked out, yes. We bring the wide receiver model
back.
What
do you think?
I think I'd go with the developmental model. I think that would be my second one.
That's fine with that.
Why don't we bring them both back?
We're bringing them both back.
Boom. Trenches, wide receivers, and we can develop.
Yes. And so, again, Christian, thank you
enough
for this.
Enough of that game, Christian.
Yeah,
We're going to post this on ESPN 106.7's Twitter, so if you want to go through this and do this, you can post it, tag us, we'll repost the best ones.
Yeah, maybe seems like Alex Golish is taking this side of things, going with the trenches, getting the receivers that you need, and also maybe the developmental model. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. The definition of a free-for-all Friday. For Trip Upton, for Jack Hudden, I'm Christian Griffin. Sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we will be back on Monday to talk about them, and hope you'll be there to join us.